Okay.
Welcome back to another episode of Ballin' Out Good Times.
Yes.
Wahoo! I'm your host, Mario. Thank you for coming in with Jeremy Hambone Hammond.
Here I go.
And replacement Katie Zangalia.
Hello.
Wahoo!
You didn't have a Mario voice.
Yeah, I didn't know I had to prepare. And this started.
You know
really
what? You not being Mario makes me not want to be Mario. Yeah. And if I'm not Mario, Jeremy's not going to be Mario.
No, I'm certainly not.
I'm taking off my red hat. Yeah, do you want to give it another?
Let's go.
Yeah, right. Wasn't that a? Is that good?
That's Wario.
Yeah,
he's pretty good. He has a spot on the team. He's Christmas season.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your Patreon for the week. What's up, everyone? What's going on? This format is too open to stay in Mario character and juice the content out of it, okay?
I'm very relieved you just switched to a regular voice. I didn't think we had to do that the whole time. I was like racking my brain of other voices.
No, we can all agree we're limited as performers.
Yeah. Yeah.
We never went to Mario UCB.
Yeah, this is why we're comics and not actors.
Do you know how expensive it is?
That's the one reason we're not actors.
Take Mario
we cannot
classes.
Replicate.
It's most certainly not our terrible faces.
At UCB, and you go and they just give you a Mario hat and you leave.
Yeah.
And that's the class.
That's a huge part of it. I remember...
If you take it off them, they give you the fire hat.
Did you ever take Improv 101?
Oh, you know I did.
I've taken sketch classes, never improv.
I took Improv 101, and I dropped out after the third class, because, like, the first few I went to, and I was like, all right, like, this is okay. It's a little lame, but
I am a natural.
What?
That's what you thought. Yeah.
No. I was like, I suck at this, and I could definitely do with the class, but I kept noticing just, like, how... like white it is.
Yeah, improv is its own worst enemy.
It really is.
The improv community is more unsettling. The thing itself is pretty fun.
It's fun.
Everyone wants to do it, but the people doing it.
We've all watched Whose Line Is It Anyway? And had a great time.
They seem like they're having a great time. That's the best improv advertisement there's ever been. Whose Line Is It Anyway?
At the third class I went to, though, there were three different dudes in beige sweaters.
Uh-huh.
And on the same day, we were leaving, and she's like, okay, so next week we're going to work on like character and voice a little bit. And what I'm going to have to ask you guys to do is like kind of work on, you know, what we're going to do in class. We're going to talk about accents and characters, you know, and like you're going to have to do some accents that you may find a little racially offensive, but like it's going to be okay. And I was like, you know what? I feel like I don't need this.
But she said it like that's gonna happen.
Yeah, like, she's like, you're gonna have to do a voice you're gonna feel uncomfortable with.
You're gonna have to take it from me, Lady Nick Mullen. This is an important skill to have if you want to get off the ground as African guy.
That's what I was picturing, was like me alone standing in front of the class and them calling out races for me to impersonate.
Dude, you know you're gonna be Chinese again.
Okay, you know, this one's like the Western one Chinese.
This is no Huangzhou province, keep in mind. I think I've shared this story on the Patreon before, but I went to a friend's 101 graduation a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I got her to come to my stand-up show, and I was like, of course, I'll go to your graduation tomorrow. I kind of like, and then like I cut my hand and made her shake it, and she cut her hand, and we swapped blood.
That's what you do.
Yeah, totally.
Right, it's just stand-up. It's producing 101. So I went to her show, and her group, I mean, it was like, they were all bad, which is kind of, watching bad improv is the second best thing next to watching really good improv, and then all medium to okay improv is like the worst thing.
You're right. Yeah.
Watching bad improv is very fun. They were all very bad. I mean, she was like doing fine or whatever. It was like a beginner's class. But it was an all-white class, and there was one black girl in it. And you know how they do the thing where somebody comes to the front and they share a story?
No!
And then they all copy it. The black girl came to the front, and she was like, you know, my dad's from Nigeria, and he wanted me to be a doctor. And he has this really thick accent, so it's pretty funny every time he's telling me to be a doctor. But I said, no, I have to try my best to be an actress in New York City. And then she sinks back to the crowd. All white audience is just like...
Step to the front.
Immediately chanting and dancing in a circle. And every time they feel the crowd pulling away, they double down too. So they're just like, you will never go to New York. And it's just like the whitest. And it went on. It was not over quick. It went on for like 6 minutes. There were masks they made up that they had.
Oh, God.
They had animal spirits.
Oh, no.
It's maybe the funniest thing I saw in 2015.
Apparently that's what they teach you, though, is to just lean into it.
Yeah.
Like if you think you're being offensive.
It's never been a mistake to double down.
My favorite bad improv I ever saw was I was at a show. It was like a stand-up and improv show. And the team comes out and they're like, okay, we need a word from the audience. And someone's like, milk. And the first scene they did is like one guy's there milking a cow. And you're like, okay. I get where you're
that's
going
milk.
With this.
Yeah. They're turning to each other saying, that's milk.
Good
that's
yes
what,
and.
That's
yeah, everyone's yeah, like, milk. Okay, good action. I can see what you're doing. You're milking a cow. Second person walks out. He's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm milking this cow. The audience is like, okay, we've confirmed he's milking the cow.
That was the prompt, milk. Milk. Yeah. We're looking for milk.
And the second guy is like, what's milk? And then the whole sketch is somebody trying to explain what milk is to no laughs.
Right, like the suggestion is supposed to be a jump off point. They were just like,
that's advanced improv. There's basic improv, yes, and oh, you're milking. Well, I need milk. Advanced improv, yes, bitch slap your partner in front of a crowd. Try your best to save this one, asshole.
Question everything.
Yeah. I don't even know what milk is.
There's definitely something going on behind the scenes, like they're in an argument or something.
You owe me money. I know how I'll get him back. I'll bomb every scene we're in together until that $25 is on my desk.
Oh, boy. Well, Zane, what's been going on in your week?
Wait, I just have one more thing about the improv thing before we move on? Which is the basic way to not ruin a scene, but to take it to new places, as we all know, because you have to give details in improv, is make every scene on 9/11 and in space. Because it's tough to put both of those together.
But that sounds great.
Yeah, it's a flawless technique. Again, I am not an improviser by trade, but in spirit, I'm
but we could
one
all
of
do
the
it.
Greatest.
I mean,
ever
we could all do it.
Yeah, that's another part of stand-up is just being like intimidated secretly of improv. But yeah.
Well, because they have friends
saying
over
you
there.
Can do it.
Yeah, they're all friends with each other.
Here, let's do a little experiment. Zane, give us a word.
Oh, bore.
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 Bore. Hey, has anyone seen my boar?
I don't know. I'm too bored over here.
Oh, I'm just in.
What the fuck does that mean? You're too bored. I'm missing my pet.
I got nothing to do, though.
It has AIDS.
Because I'm bored.
You're bored? It's 9/11 right now.
Oh, my God.
And we're in space.
Is that Saturn?
Did my boar get out of the ship or not, Zane? And scene.
Oh, no,
I'm walking in front of Zane, and that's the scene. Heightening. Conflict.
Just saying.
Improvisation. Boar.
And we bow.
I was going to be working at a deli where I was cutting boar's head ham.
Oh, okay. Mm. Well, you can do... Right. We'll do the next scene with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
Great, yeah.
All right. Okay.
And that's how improv works, so you have to announce what's coming up.
I mean, it's short form. There's different forms.
That's right. Oh, you talk to talk. Okay.
Yeah, there's different forms of
it. Yeah, we're doing a whole herald here.
This isn't even my final form. Okay, so my word that you guys are going to do a scene on, right?
Oh.
No, I want to think of a good one.
This is also how it works at every improv show. Yeah. You say yes to the audience.
And like, I haven't thought of a good one yet.
If somebody doesn't immediately say like dildo or like Chinaman, you're going to wait for like 20 minutes for that word.
The immediate
responses are always problematic.
It's always fucked.
Yeah. All right. How about dolphin?
Dolphin.
Hey, is this is where we pet the dolphins?
No, I'm Dan Marino of the Miami Dolphins.
Oh man,
good listening.
Wow. Hey, what was it like meeting Jim Carrey?
Jim Carrey? Who's Jim Carrey?
Insane.
No way to finish that one. Zane, good eye.
That's also knowing when to fold them.
Wow, really... I can't believe we're giving away this masterclass for $1.50 or something. That's amazing.
You should be able to charge like $500 for this one podcast, because that's what a 101 so, yeah. class.
This will be released separately. But we will still be recapping an episode of Dragon Ball GT at the end of it. Mm. That's the only way we know how to talk to each other.
Yeah, but for you freak completionists, you're going to have to pay.
Yeah, you gotta pay. Yeah. You're getting fin-dommed. I don't even care. I want small amounts of money for something that takes, added together, kind of a lot of time.
Don't shame that. For...
No, I'm fin-domming them. It's a word I learned from fishes. We're in the same... See, mind meld right now.
We never end scene. We're still in it.
No, we're still in it. We're all still in it. It's 9/11.
In space. In space.
Do you guys know about dominatrixes and their many tricks?
No.
Oh wow.
I mean, I know like.
Let me know. Okay, like,
I know a little bit more than the average mm-hmm. bear. Because I did the show Precious Metal one time, bar in Brooklyn, Precious Metal, and not to name drop.
famous East Coast comedy club.
Yeah,
Precious Metal.
You can go there, and they have happy hour from 5 to 7.
One of those bars.
It's one of those comedy clubs where, like, you know, you go and you perform, and then you go in the back, and there's the table there, and who's at the table? Yeah. Jim Norton.
Oh, Aziz is there.
Aziz is there. Anthony Cumia is there.
All the everyone you look up to. Anyway, so I was there. I did one of my hot sets, you know, triggering the snowflakes.
Yeah.
And somebody meets me outside and they're like, oh man, that was a great set. I watched it with my friend who is a dominatrix. And sometimes what she'll do to her patients to kind of dominate them is just hang out with me while she's with them and not pay attention to them.
Mm.
And so they feel dominated because they're being ignored.
Oh, I thought it was going to be sometimes to abuse them. She makes them go to stand-up comedy shows. Precious Metal.
I mean, no, that would be a special treat.
Wait, so she's just like playing a video game and won't let them like in?
They'll like go to a baseball game and she won't like look him in the eye or whatever, and she'll be with her other friend and he's like,
Oh, I'm getting so domed.
Oh no, I can't even get a hot dog from the hot dog vendor.
Does anybody know what the score is? No.
Why would they tell me?
Just ignore me. And then fin domming, which is just essentially taking people's money and not giving them anything for it, which is probably the best gig of all time if you can get it.
Just saying, I'm going to dominate you.
I'm dominating you. Give me $100, and that's
just like a con, right?
Kind of. I guess I could talk about this because we're behind the paywall. I've fin dommed somebody before.
You fin dommed?
Oh, wow. Yeah. During the same time as around the same time as the catnip story takes place.
Sure.
Zane, for your reference, I used to smoke catnip.
Jeremy used to be way cooler than he is now.
How long a period were you doing this?
Smoking catnip?
Yeah.
Probably over the course of maybe 2 years. I was smoking catnip on the reg.
Jeremy only smokes human drugs now.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
He's way labored.
Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah,
I know. My cats are bummed out about it.
I'm sure you guys talked about this at length, but I just have a couple.
Yeah, it's fine. Follow-ups.
Is this is this something you invent? Is this like a common thing?
The catnip.
Yeah.
Okay, so the idea was that we were smoking weed, and like at some point you're as high as you're going to be,
right?
Without getting like, you know, fucked up or burnt out and whatever. But you want to keep smoking because you like the feeling of smoking, and so you start smoking catnip.
So you smoke catnip, yeah,
because the catnip doesn't do anything to you, but it still feels like smoking weed.
And then that way, cats also think you're cool.
Yeah.
I was wondering. Cats love them.
The fin doming story is that I used to do like foot fetish stuff. Uh-huh. This was like a job that I had for a little bit where I would like go to dudes' houses and they would lick my feet.
Were you part of like an actual like service?
It was me.
You're smoking catnip, and there's a man licking your feet.
Yes, as I'm watching the final season of The Sopranos on his TV and ignoring him.
How much time do they lick your feet for?
At least one episode.
I mean,
of Sopranos.
As long as it takes to jack off, I guess.
Now, do you feel more clean after this or less clean?
Honestly, very clean. Your feet feel really clean.
I bet. I mean, it is a bath.
Sometimes they'd work their way up the ankle just a little bit.
Oh, yeah, and then you gotta like kick them in the head and be like, you little worm, you're not allowed up to the ankle. Yeah,
come on. Who do you think you are?
No, you haven't heard the ankle.
I had to pause The Sopranos.
This is the scene where Tony kills Christopher. And you dare lick my Achilles tendon.
There are major spoilers happening behind the paywall right now. More than just
this
your
devious life. My favorite episode,
life.
The Pine Barrens. That's a good one.
No, so, we need way more details on this one.
Okay, so there's the guy, the main guy, because there was like a circuit of guys, the one main guy who I would go to like maybe once a week or so. This dude like really loved the feet, you know? And so I'd be there like every week. And then after a while, he started noticing me bringing weed with me, and he's like, well, do you know where to get weed?
I can only find men to feet lick on the internet.
I know, like, if you're already that far into like the services.
I haven't figured out something children get all the time. I only know how to essentially buy like a stone's throw from human trafficking.
But this widely accepted
he never wanted it, so he didn't presume to have any of your weed because he would lick your feet.
Right, exactly.
Is this like a biblical thing for people? Because you know Jesus is always getting his feet cleaned off.
Clean.
They're fucking raunchy, and people are just like throwing hair at them. Like...
But that's a distinction. He would get that like in like a bath.
I also don't know how much these people are talking to you, or if it's just like no words.
There's like
just
some
lick my feet.
No, there's like some chit chat at the beginning. You come in, you like talk about your week and whatever, and. He was like guy was like a nature photographer, and so he would like show me pictures he took of like birds and shit.
Just birds' feet.
You got a real focus to your work this week.
Damn, dude. Damn.
So, so he started asking for weed, and I started bringing it to him. And I would bring him the same amount of weed every single week, but every week I would charge more. Just to see how far I could push it, because I was like, this guy loves to be degraded. And so the same amount of weed, literally a $10 amount of weed, was the next week 15, 20, 25, 30, 30, until I got up to about like $75.
And then what was this confrontation? Just like, it just doesn't seem like this is market price. Right.
There was no confrontation. The confrontation never happened. I, at some point, was like, you know what? I feel bad. I can't keep doing this to this guy. Right. He's
like
an artist. He doesn't make that much. Right.
He's already paying out the ass for foot time.
Yeah, what was that going? What was the
what's
the
going rate for that?
It's hard to remember, but I think it was like maybe like $100 to just sit there for like 20 minutes while he jacked off.
Man, that is not bad.
It's really not bad at all. Yeah.
So when you were going in there with weed and you were coming out with like close to $200 at least.
Uh-huh.
Damn, oh my God. Dude.
And you got all the benefits. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we're still podcasting. I don't know why we're not in this game right now.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, why'd you stop?
Because I was trying to get a security deposit.
I would love explaining this to your fiance. Yeah. Just being like, look, it's getting a job is hard.
I mean, I've talked about it on stage before. It's like not a unknown fact about me.
I don't know. It's never come up here
in the 2 years we've been doing this podcast.
Was this just like a Craigslist thing that you had to
Yeah. This is back when they had the erotic.
Was there like one of those like euphemisms you had to put on Craigslist
the ad said,
like, I'm going to work on your...
The ad said, skinny punk boy with big smelly feet.
Need I say more?
And it was a picture of me in like an Operation Ivy t-shirt with a big hole in the front of it. And then me just literally pointing down at my foot.
What is the opposite of a code word?
Yeah. That's not subtle at all.
I was going to have fun being like, I got 10 little dwarves in need of a shower.
A tongue shower.
My little boys are so dirty. My little piggies.
And I'm hoping the pitcher just like cut off just like half the foot just to give them a little like, let their imaginations
Looking
run wild.
Looking for a man to make my piggies go wee, wee, wee.
It's like, it's so coded you can't tell what it is. Like, I need a farm boy to clean up around my piggies. Yeah. You're just people showing up for piggies. Like, so are you paying me? There's no pigs here. Are you smoking catnip?
What is it?
This isn't even close to as interesting, but when I was getting fired from things all the time, I tried to get work as a cat sitter because I was fired from walking dogs for being too fucking real. And there was a sign on the street that said, like, cat sitter wanted now. And I was like, fuck, yes, that's me. I can't freak out cats. And so I called the number, and it was a woman looking to be a cat sitter. And so I just had to, like, out-compete her for it on the phone. Oh, man. And then we were just both like, oh, I guess you're just the enemy.
Did you end up giving her your cats?
Like, no, I mean,
she's
I did.
A great salesman.
She seems like she deserved it more than I did. Yeah.
So you just, that knocked you out of the game immediately.
I didn't have what it takes. But again, nowhere near the level of tea as piggy time.
I know. Katie's going to be so upset she's missing all this tea.
I know. We can't even save any for her or anything.
Ooh, this is some sweet chamomile.
Damn. You always know just what to say, Zane.
Okay, before we move on, there's one more thing I wanted to talk about, which is I've spent a lot of my week this week watching Sword Art Online.
Okay.
Now, I've talked about it a lot on Twitter, but I felt like I should canonize it specifically on the podcast.
Make it
talking
a saint?
To you about it. You've seen it before, Alex. Mm-hmm. Zane, have you ever seen Sword Art Online?
Is this just drawings of swords?
Totally reasonable question. Completely from the name of the stupid show. Just a fine question to ask.
Did not want to be laughed at.
No, it's a show named Sword Art Online. It is not Sword Art that is online.
Yeah. Okay, so
totally
then,
get why you would ask
an
that.
An emphatic no. Have
to go. Elevator pitch for Sword Art Online is it's a show about
Hold
online.
On.
Games.
Oh,
online.
Hold on, back to improv. So you two are in an elevator, and Zane is a very high-powered executive. And you only have around 45 seconds to really sell him on Sword Art Online.
Okay.
Okay, and improv.
Okay, so...
All right, I don't have time. Let's go.
All right. Okay, so here's my show, okay? Here's the show.
Okay.
So it's about a gamer, right?
And that's like, in right now. People love games.
People love gaming. People love online games. But what if you gamed so hard that they were forced to give you a leather duster, huh? Wouldn't that be sick? Okay. Maybe not. But what if
we're one floor away, sir?
Hang on. What if you gamed so hard that they had to give you a wife? Hmm.
Can we attach Christian Bale?
Okay, so you get this wife, right? You get the wife, and then you get out of the game, right? You beat the game. You're out of the game now.
All
the stakes of the series, they're gone. They're out the window. Nobody's dying anymore. Now you're just playing online games, okay? So what do you do now? You've got your wife. You've got your leather duster. Next thing you do, you cuck that woman's former husband.
I like this now.
Because what you didn't know is that while you were in the game, she was already married out there, but he didn't know that you were married in there. So you go out and you fuck her behind his back and then you kill him.
Look, if you could do this for cheap, let's get you on the horn.
Zane was so interested he missed his floor. He
we're
just
now,
stayed in the elevator to hear
we're
where
now
this
on
is
the
going.
Roof and we're locked up here.
Okay, so now that we're on the roof, okay, season
all right,
three.
Well, my chopper's coming. Yeah, yeah.
Season three, okay? What if it's the same show but now with guns?
Throw down the throw down the rope ladder.
I'm a close-up helicopter.
That's right. I'm so rich at the station. I have a helicopter that talks to you.
Sir, we have to we have to go.
But keep the pitch going. You know what? I've heard enough. I like it.
Should we? Do you want to invite him in the helicopter?
He can hang on the rope ladder while I'm on.
Okay. It's gonna be loud. And scene. Okay.
Okay. Good improv, everybody.
Great
it's
improv.
Great improv.
Great improv.
Give okay, us your great. Feedback and how that improv went.
That elevator pitch was a wild success.
No, that was really
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
got.
I can't believe I sold
onto a helicopter
online. Finally.
Yeah.
okay. Should we move on?
I would
to
accept
the dark
everything.
Passenger?
I cannot be a CEO.
You really have a very open CEO's energy. yes. Okay. So Zane, for this segment, we read. Anime blogs by fascists and really unearth their content. Is that a good description?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
We unearth it. Okay. Have you seen Indiana Jones?
It's
yeah,
like
yeah.
That. Yeah.
The Unearther?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I call it.
This belongs in a museum. That's the name of the segment.
Okay, I need you also, Zane, to say beep beep all aboard.
Oh, right now?
Yes.
Beep beep. I'm all aboard.
Okay, ribby, ribby, great. By the hat.
I feel like I really had to sell that because I feel bad about the Mario voice thing.
No,
still.
It was really good, man. Good. I mean, nothing but net.
Swish. Okay, so as you all remember, last week we covered our friend Jared Trueheart's move over to Return of Kings.
Right.
And the closing of Return of Kings, and we had speculated that perhaps Jared would try to take up the mantle as the new Return of Kings here at legendsofmen.com.
The new king.
Yes. What has he done, in fact? He's taken several refugees from Return of Kings.
Which is very unfashy of him.
Yeah.
To take in refugees.
So, this is an article on Legends of Men by... Return of Kings author Joe Gorbert.
We all know Joe Gorbert. Yeah. He did
real name
Joey G.
clearly not a pen name.
This is also not anime related per se, but it is animation related. And I felt like since we're getting to the holiday season, it may be appropriate. This is 5 ways Disney's Uncle Scrooge is the ideal alpha patriarch role model.
Just 5.
Yeah, only 5.
The 21st century marks, miracles and cataclysms withstanding, the completion of the defeat of man through machines, machine people, and machine concepts. In the actual workplace, but also in bed.
There's so much in the first 2 sentences of this.
Automation and mechanization are waltzing over human beings like they were the ballroom floor.
Maybe, a machine for your feet.
Maybe it's because to our planet's owners, that's pretty much what we are. What? The floor they stand and dance on.
All kinds of dances.
Wait, this guy is having his rallying cry against the owner class while praising
Uncle Scrooge.
Uncle yes. Scrooge.
Okay.
A character of a greedy duck.
Yeah, I'm
who dives in gold coins.
Capital he's resources, steel balls, and a generous supply of loyal, capable, and cheap assistants, as well as strong professional allies, afford the alpha male the role of being the shaper and not victim of this evolution. That's what he's getting at, is he's saying capitalism is becoming worse, but as alpha males, we can be a part of the making worse.
That would be great.
It would be great.
I love being an alpha male.
You want that. That's what you want from your
alpha
males.
I'm on top, and you're grounded.
Disney's Uncle Scrooge reflects the entirety of virtues that will keep a man on top of developments as they unfold. Through the power of ambition, entrepreneurship, greatness envisioned, proper aggressiveness against adversarial forces, and prudency in regards to all things money and planning, attentive men may best the grand machine after all.
So he's just talking about like just Jews then, right?
Yeah.
Jews are the machines here.
Okay, number one, family first, in the good times as in the bad.
And then a picture of all, like, eight ducks in a car for four ducks tops.
Yeah. Just a reminder, we are talking about a cartoon duck.
Just like real quick, it's Uncle Scrooge.
Yeah.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie are here, and they're having a grand old time. Yeah.
Daisy's in there.
Daisy's there, Donald's there, and then a grandma. The grandma, duck, yeah.
I don't know how canon she is.
It's like the uncle pedophile duck.
The uncle with the Dick Tracy hat is in the back.
He can still be an ally in the war on the machine.
Everyone is welcome as long as you're an alpha male.
I love that this is like so steeped in like I went to grad school and I have opinions on Scrooge McDuck.
Uncle Scrooge would oftentimes not have prevailed, even having all the money and corporate power in the world, had it not been for the constant protection, spontaneous intervention, and unwavering loyalty of close family members.
I'm losing the thesis on this, though. I don't.
I just can't stop laughing at every serious fucking sentence.
It's the pictures of the duck in the car are making it a lot harder.
Yeah. It does not match what he's saying.
As much as Uncle Scrooge is often frustrated having to work with his family due to attitudes of theirs mucking up results, blood consistently proves thicker than water throughout the adventure series, pretty much just as we can witness in the real world.
And do you know who knows how thick water is? A goddamn duck!
They're in that constantly. They know the density more than anyone.
Beep, beep, all aboard has never been so true as watching all these ducks cram into the family Volvo.
Okay, skipping ahead. The ultimate truth of human life on this planet reveals itself in the beginning, in the critical moments, and in the end. It's elemental to have the guidance and guardianship of people close to you, again, cartoon ducks, that you can trust completely, even to Uncle Scrooge. Family remains accordingly the most golden of currencies.
I think it's room of piles of currencies. That was,
I don't even
the most
think Uncle
currency.
Scrooge would co-sign this either because he just loves coins.
No,
he loves big bets of coins.
He would not say his family's more
He would
important.
Never. Also, none of these examples seem very pertinent to Scrooge McDuck so far.
Okay, moving on to number two. Money magic. 21st century male potency is by way of wallet.
And then it is him, again, the picture. He's wearing a top hat and skiing down gold
skiing,
coins.
You know.
There's trees in the coins, but they're dollar bill trees.
Yes.
Again, a cartoon duck skiing on money. Obviously,
very happy about
Scrooge
it.
Is financially an extremely potent duck.
Now, only financially speaking, we do know he has troubles in the bedroom as earlier.
We have to keep going.
An extremely potent duck with untold self-made riches to use at his free disposal to create legacy and a spirit of strive and thriftiness, there is not all that much that he cannot do.
I was reading this article and watching the duck in a top hat and going, that's what a man looks like.
Well, I would say skiing down a group of coins, like, that's true. Not a lot of people can do that.
As science and technology march menacingly in lockstep to challenge human dominion over this world, they, in three parentheses, are in preparation of heavier assaults and are focusing on simply making life feel increasingly surreal for now.
It's so anti-Semitic and so focused on ducks at the same time.
Alas, the swine can pay and get paid absurd sums through a vicious cycle of disintegrative entrepreneurial malpractice only today's world's depravity would permit existence. We have to understand the lowness, the golden calf instinct of humanity, or else we'll be hurt through our limiting belief that wealth is only a question of delivering honest work with consistency.
I have an edit I have an edit. How about enough malpractice? Time for some mallard practice. How's time for some mallard practice? Put that in there.
Okay, number three of minions and masters. Directing underlings and keeping eye-level allies.
And it's the picture is, yes. What's the name of this duck? He's like a strong strapping duck, and he's holding Uncle Scrooge.
He's like a pilot, I think.
Yeah, he's like the Air Force duck.
And he's got one up on Scrooge. He looks like
he looks like him.
Well, he's one of his allies.
Well, that's the thing, you know, is what they're talking about here is that Scrooge is like financially mogging everybody, and this man is height mogging, you know.
Scrooge is not triple parentheses Scrooge, who is? What character in the Disney universe is international Jewry? I don't understand.
Okay, so this article is insanely long, so I'm just going to skip over. Oh,
wait, just read the titles. Just, yeah.
It'll describe the pictures.
Of ambitious pursuit and the thwarting of adversaries.
Okay, so this picture is, I think it's Donald. And he's holding a stick, and he's nose to nose with Scrooge, who has a cane. And
no, it's not Donald. It's a Scottish duck.
It's a very Scottish duck.
This is like alternate universe Scrooge. I thought it was just.
And
like...
around him, what we're seeing is their battles all throughout. Where at the top, he's they're fighting in front of a bank.
The Grand Wars of Capital.
They're
again
shooting cannons at each other. At the bottom, there's some sort of. What looks like piles of some type of a stone resource that's being dug around. What the fuck is
that? It's a kidnapping thing?
Scrooge is like one mick away from just being an anti-Semitic caricature. Yeah. How is he not?
Yeah.
How is he not the problem on legendsofmen.com?
It should be Scrooge Duckowitz. Okay, number five, who or what to love as an alpha patriarch? And I think that's going to be similar to number one, where it's going to be family above everything. It's a currency, it's thicker than water, it's gold, etc., etc.
Right, and it's Scrooge, and he's on a cliff with Huey, Dewey, and Louie, and they're smiling, and they're ducks. Can't emphasize that last part enough. All of them are ducks.
Okay, if you're unfamiliar with the characters.
Wait. Look at that bio real quick, just the top part.
I want to do the conclusion here.
Okay.
What we have is
round it out.
As an alpha patriarch, I would invariably love the Scrooge. First, my talismans, faith and confidence grounded in spirituality. My means and trophies, money, abilities, and resources, and my true friends and actual allies. But last and first would I love my own truth and connection to my center, which is an ultimate and truest conviction that the world is full of mediocrity and low-designed, much likened to a bucket of crabs. And if you dare lay claim even to your own destiny, you had better bring your guns. Because no one will let you be, lest they be proven lesser men by their own narratives. Scrooge learned this early, coming from utter desperate poverty. Hard times produce good men, and through his understanding of hierarchies and the marks that separate, he lifted legacy from the forges of fortune. Truly the one alpha, good advice mallard all men can learn a lot from.
They never show Scrooge selling his boy pussy on the streets to get the startup capital for a factory.
And this is signed Joe Gorbert, CEO.
Yeah, that was what got me, was CEO under the name.
And I don't think this explains anything, what he was a CEO of.
And then his little bio, Joe, a 31-year-old and German origin, 13-year-old ghost and copywriter, was going to be a digital nomad influencer, but stumbled over criticizing SJW paradigms. Also raps.
Okay.
And makes jewelry to aid in the red pilling of worth it people.
Okay.
Well, we're going to
have
a new favorite writer.
A
couple new tabs there.
You have to look up his rap real quick.
I'm sorry. He is better than Jared every step of the way.
We have a new friend.
More descriptive verbiage, more just like craving for blood and oil. Every sentence about ducks.
I can't believe all of that was from a cartoon duck.
I'm just waiting for this to be random. Like, we'll go to the rap page and it'll just...
It's random.
The doc from hell!
Oh, Scrooge definitely comes up. In like half
you know, the thing about random, though, is he is not of German origin like Joe.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait.
And he really emphasized he was 31.
We don't have the time for this.
No, we'll put it at the end.
We nearly don't. Okay, we'll end the episode with the
Joe
rap.
He's like several EPs.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into the episode at minute 40.
That's the behind the paywall content, everyone. Okay. Yes. And now, with great begrudgingness, we will discuss Dragon Ball GT. This episode is entitled Discovering the Truth, and it's all about Scrooge McDuck. Now, Zane, this was your first episode of Dragon Ball GT. What did you think?
I was shocked how accessible it was.
That's not feedback we get very often.
Yeah.
I, like, followed the episode. I could, like... It was pretty, like, obvious, like, the plot was...
Although there were
enough.
A lot of downsides to Baby as a villain in that he is, like, a cartoon within a cartoon, kind of like Broly. He announces his plans more clearly than the other villains.
Yeah.
He will literally pop... Like, you'll be like, which one of the bad guys is Baby possessing? And then he'll pop out under their shirt and be like, it's me! I'm the doctor now! And then, look out for my plan!
Yeah, and while he's possessing a person, he is very uncool. Like, to me, it's very clear he's a villain.
The only cool thing about him is that he is always wearing sunglasses.
Yep.
And that his head is shaped like that of the Capri Sun Man.
Yes, and make no mistake, those are both extremely cool things.
They are the coolest things you could possibly do. I am saving up money from this podcast to pay for a surgery that will curve my head and elongate it into a long Santa hat kind of shape, which will hopefully launch my career in entertainment.
It will either make you look like Baby or it'll make you look like Oogie Boogie. Right.
Another cool guy.
He basically ate like a banana Gushers. Is that what makes your head? I mean, you guys filled in all the confusing things, like why a child was her grandfather.
That's true. You would need to have seen the other the other episodes of Dragon Ball GT to get that, but that's the premise of the show. So when we were last here, Goku, Trunks, and Pan had rescued a boy who looks like a lettuce man from a spaceship. Mm-hmm. They brought him to Space Hospital, a hospital in space, where sometimes there are aliens and sometimes there are people. It's like a Rick and Morty episode where Goku is visiting. There doesn't seem to be any rules. It's just like a hospital you'd go to now.
Yep.
And so they're waiting for the health to turn around of this boy they found in space. That they don't know. So they're just being good Samaritans. The world might be destroyed because they're waiting, but they are dumb and don't care about that or plan anything that they do. So
all about the boy's health.
Yes. They just want to know that this little boy who looks like Sal is going to be okay. But unfortunately, against their knowing, this little salad boy is in fact their arch enemy, the Capri Sun Man, Baby himself. And he'll let you know that by occasionally popping out of the boy and going, hee, I'm a bad man, I'm waiting to get them alone. Well, and then he'll go back into the boy. When we last left them off, Baby had blown up part of the hospital. And when this episode starts, Goku flies in, grabs him to out of the fire, and brings him to a new part of the hospital. That then happens again, and everyone comments how the boy has had to be saved from explosions multiple times. No one putting together that never happens in a hospital.
Yeah.
Nothing explodes 99.9% of the time.
It's not of the Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight, but that's one big... I mean, if it happened twice, you'd be like, the Joker's one of these patients, for sure. He's definitely in there.
Look, he's the nurse.
That weird nurse is here again.
Wait, quick check. Are any of the nurses wearing clown makeup? This is why we stay vigilant. So they move Baby, and the way he lets you know that he's in the little boy is he popped out of the boy, like I said, and he says, quote, there's a baby on board. Which is the kind of wordplay that keeps you checking back into the show.
Oh, yeah.
And he announces he is trying to get them alone to, quote, steal their flesh. Baby, much like Joe Gorbert, has wonderful dialogue. And is just like, he's like the band Korn if they were an anime villain. He's the most fucked up dude there's ever been.
Oh, yeah, and Zane, you pointed out that he's kind of very Venom-like.
Oh, yeah.
In the way exactly that they will, like, yeah, they're possessed by him. He, like, slooshes into yeah, them like a goopy monster. And then he talks to them inside their brain.
You are right. A more compelling modern version is that it's Venom. It's just that the color reminds me of the Capri Sun commercial. Yeah.
Right. Which can also go into your open wounds.
Like if, oh, wait, no, we're not there yet.
Sorry.
Now, surely this is the most important thing that happened in the entire episode is right about now, right, where a deer is introduced for absolutely no reason.
I wanted to announce first that they go fishing, and Giru is eaten by a catfish, and then Goku goes, look at Giru, he got eaten by a catfish, and that comes back in a little bit. But next...
a lot of fish talk.
Next, much to Jeremy's excitement, we see Panalone feeding deer in the woods, and that's when something very exciting happens.
The deer gets a little
the deer is horny for human beings.
It's like a space deer too
on children's television. Sucks on Pan's titty a little bit.
Well,
and just in case
we don't know that's what's happening.
No, we do. I cannot stress this enough,
that this is exactly what happens on this television show for children. This cartoon television series where two children explore the universe.
We do know that because Baby in the form of this boy is behind Pan and he goes, he thinks you're his mother.
Yeah, like that deer is sucking on your titty.
That's why he
thinks there's deer milk in it.
Again, Baby, you're not being conspicuous in this body. You got to figure out. Yeah, don't say the creepiest things.
Do deer do that? Is that like based on a real world thing? They're like, we're not going to sugarcoat how deer act. Yeah. We're not going to lie to these children.
Even though this is on fictional space.
If you see a deer, they're going right for your boobage.
Do not wear crop tops.
And the thing is, too, while they do it, they'll go like, wow, 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 woo, woo. Yeah. So he...
The deer sucks on the titty a little bit, and then it tumbles over, and like a big heart pounds out of its chest. Its eyes fly about 10 feet out of its face, and then deflate and fall onto the ground before being pulled back into its body. And then it goes,
The thing, too, about Pan is, like any victim of trauma, she moves right on. Like, nothing happened. Yep. Just like, oh, next to the next
thing. Oh, no, she's found it.
I mean, this is not the same thing, but when I was a boy, I went to go visit my grandmother in the nursing home. She was in the Alzheimer's ward, and she ate a sweater we gave her, which is very funny, but besides the point. And one of her roommates who was there,
she ate a sweater.
We gave her a sweater, and people with Alzheimer's are—they're like a deer who sees a titty.
The primal instinct.
Put that in their mouth. It's, you know, society be damned. I'm eating this sweater.
She ate the whole thing?
No, she didn't eat the whole thing. We were like, no, it's a sweater, you know, like, and it was very sad. But
while you guys were
this
there.
Is actually not the point of the story. The point of the story is I went wandering through the halls, and another member of the Alzheimer's ward creeped up on me, muttering names of her former husbands, and I was like 11 years old, and just went straight for some boob. She went under my shirt and just started copping a boob, and was like, "Ho-ho, Maxwell," and one of the nurses was like, she does this. And I was like, what is happening right now?
And then she tumbled over and a heart pounded out of her chest. And then she pulled out a full double bass and started playing Is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby.
And the nurse just said, she thinks you're her mother.
Yeah, I was gonna say, a bandaged child didn't appear behind you.
Yeah,
just
she was
super weird.
Getting some. And that's what this deer did, is my point. And you can't hide children from the real world.
No, right. I had to include that.
So anyway, Baby in apex of predatory instincts noticed that Pan is petting the deer and goes up behind her with like a Scooby-Doo hand, you know, like when the zombie's reaching for somebody's hair and then they move away and it goes,
that thing where they very slowly reach over so the good guys can like come in time to save her. Yeah.
And from the positioning of the hand, you have no idea what they're trying to do because it's like half closed and like a terrifying fist. And you're like, are you going to like judo chop them? What are you doing? But right as he's about to get his sweet girl host, Trunks and Goku show up, and they say, Salad Boy, shouldn't you be in the salad ward? And he has this whole, like, foiled again moment. And the doctor is with them for some reason.
Yep.
He shows up.
And he takes him away on a little salad wheelchair.
I'm also on the walk, and I just noticed that this yeah. salad boy isn't in the salad ward. Is that deer sucking off a girl?
Well, that's unimportant.
Well, back to doctorly duties. And the other plot, too, which made this weird for me, is Goku is so afraid of the doctor, which they wrote into the show. That's
yep.
the fun comedic twist, is he's the strongest man in the universe, and he's terrified of shots.
Cafeteria food.
And cafeteria food, he makes a whole thing about not going to the hospital, for some reason walking around with his doctor. So the doctor takes the boy back, and Pan stays with the deer because they are in the common law married yes, now.
Things got very serious.
And so the doctor is alone with baby, who says, I wrote this down. The doctor tells baby as he's walking him back that he needs his ABC. It goes to the ABCs of doctoring. A, a little bit of sleep. B, bed rest. C, 'cause you gotta rest. Just like somebody had to do like procedural dialogue for a medicine man and had no examples and just went for it.
This is supposed to be like an advanced space hospital, and that's like 1700s.
Yeah. This is unfortunately written before there was like Wikipedia and shit. So someone just like opened up an alphabet book that's like, what your daddy does for a living. The ABCs of doctor.
And baby is pissed off at that shit, and so he hops out of the boy's back as a wave of venom, and yes. he splurs up with his tendrils out, and he goes, nah! And the doctor goes, oh, what the fuck? And then they scream, and he hops on his head and suffocates him in venom.
Yep.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yep. And then he gets in him and he's like, Eddie, you gotta move the plot along, Eddie. This show is moving really slow now. And there doesn't seem to be any kind of pacing for what we're even waiting for. No one knows what's happening, Eddie.
What are the stakes? Who knows?
You gotta fucking make a hammer out of your hand.
Yeah, so then he takes Future Trunks inside and he's like, you're not gonna believe what we got inside. We got shit you wouldn't believe. It's a microscope, Trunks. It's a big fucking microscope.
Quick aside, they call back the fish thing. Goku is afraid to go in the hospital, oh, yeah. but won't eat the fish they caught because he doesn't like fish and says it was, quote, the worst experience ever. This is a man who has died twice and just lost everything he's ever loved, but eating fish was the worst for him. Yeah. Baby then convinces the family to split them. Our noble heroes to split them up at the hospital. He's a doctor now. He says, Trunks, you're gonna love this. I have a microscope in the other room. You love microscopes.
And then they're way too trusting.
Yeah, they just go for it. And Trunks too puts on this whole speech about, like, my family invents things. We love microscopes and rocket plane and super skateboard.
And he gripes about his board for a little bit.
Yeah, and he's like, my fucking board won't let me make a mech suit. He's a...
I keep telling them I need to be Iron Man, because that's where the economy of superhero movies is going. No one cares about this beams and sexy hair anymore.
Yeah. It's all about mech suits. He's just full on Elon Musk for this. So baby lures him in another room with the idea of a microscope. Mm-hmm. Trunks talks about how this microscope is way ahead of the microscopes on Earth, and you can see the molecules in 3D, which his board refuses to let him do, even though he had the idea first. He like has a Donald Trump rant about his great ideas.
Yeah, his board just constantly being at it.
Right, yeah, he's just ranting about his board, looking at the microscope, and meanwhile, baby is clacking his hands together, clackety-clack, waiting to get a taste of that sweet Trunks. Alas, it was all a trap. Goku and Pan blast baby, sending him onto the floor in great disarray. He's blasted. Gosh darn it, says baby. I can't believe I've been foiled again. Trunks then explains that ever since he hopped in the doctor... he has known about Baby's presence on the planet because they sensed his power level and lured him, only pretending to be horny for microscopes. They all blast Baby and kick him around the room in a scene that kind of looks like a gang initiation, just how one-sided and kind of slow it is. It's almost hard to watch. Then Baby blows up the room just like he did last time, making a small knife cut on Trunks' arms. Why was there a knife cut on Trunks' arm? It was a blast. It was a heat explosion.
He was thrown across the room, but
and he has a very sharp wound in his arm.
Exactly.
And then
like an X-Acto knife, kind
of. Yeah, like an exact. Like he was blasted by one of the knives went higgledy-piggledy into Trunks' arm, and this is where we learned a very important thing about Baby is that he is like AIDS and can spread through wounds.
Yes.
But I feel like in the other people he was possessing, like the doctor, he didn't have a wound.
He went down their throat because he's fucking twisted. Yeah, but I think that takes longer, and once you have an open wound, it's actually really fast. He hops into Trunks and just has him right away.
Yeah. Yep.
He then puts a big blast in front of Goku's face. He's like charging it, and he's like, "Bet you can't dodge this shit, bitch. I'm fucking doing drive-bys and eating In-N-Out Burger." Because he's fucking twisted and he does what he wants.
Yeah.
And they're all lamenting that their best
he's just
friend...
doing ollies right there. Yeah.
Their best friend has become so twisted. Goku does have a line before this where he's gonna blow up Trunks and then Pan is like, "You fucking kill Trunks! Oh my fucking God! Oh, fuck!" And then he says, "I'll try to hit him in a way where he stays alive," which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, that's a funny little line.
That sounds like what the writers would say. Like, we got to make it a way, but we'll just have him say this.
Yeah, not that, but better than that. But say, like...
not this weirdy, weird way of talking.
I mean, it just doesn't sound like how people talk, but, you know, something like that. And then, so Trunks has a jump on Goku. He's about to blast his face out when Trunks inside of... his possessed body refuses to let him blast Goku and shoots it instead into the microscope. He yells and powers up, jettisoning Baby from his body with the sheer force of blood and will, much like our friends at legendsofmen.com. He is too powerful of an alpha man to be possessed, such as the power of Saiyans. Baby says things like, "Darn it," and blast foiled again.
It snarls a lot.
He snarls. He does a lot of noises to let you know, just in case you like left the room to get chips and came back and were like, "Wait, who was the bad guy?" Yeah. He does noises like, and then escapes, blowing up the lab again and a very expensive microscope that is taken from the good people of Space Hospital Town. He then possesses a fat woman in line for a jet airliner going to space. She's also the same woman who's like in every Dragon Ball Z scene too, and a human being where you're like, "How'd you get to Space Hospital?" But that's not important. He hops in her and goes into the space plane and then kills everyone on the plane, sucking their life energy. He calls it a morsel, but still better than the peanuts you get on these things. Has anyone seen the stuff they're serving you on these things? It does like some Jerry Seinfeld airline material. He says, "Why don't they make the whole plane out of the Saiyan?" He says that.
Who's even cooking this stuff?
He does long act outs.
I mean, do they have a kitchen up there or what?
But the thing is, it's safe, clean humor.
And why'd
no
they
one's
make
offended.
Us watch how to use a seatbelt?
When I was young in Long Island, things were different than they are now. I wrote all these jokes in my first special. Has anyone noticed Uber is different than taxis? I was at the airport the other day. You can't see this, but I'm doing a very big act out. My arms are wings!
And that is straight up the end of the episode.
Yeah. A great joke it ends on.
Great joke. I mean, always end on a joke. That's why we always end on
a song.
That's
respect, Baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was this episode of Dragon Ball GT. Better than the last few, I think.
Yeah, but not by much.
It was still really bad. Mm. But at no point was I like offended.
Mm.
Even by the deer titty thing, I think that's just good old fashioned comedy, ladies and gentlemen.
This is the late 90s. Funny, yeah, yes. I mean.
I mean, yeah, Ben Stiller's on TV. It was just the way things were.
Anything went.
Anything
we're watching
was
Family Guy, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, man, it's so twisted. All
but
right.
That was good.
Yeah, pretty good. Out of 7 Black Star Dragon Balls, what do you review the episode? Jeremy Hammond.
I'll give it 4 out of 7.
4 out of 7. That's pretty gracious. Yeah. What's your reasoning behind that?
I think it was there was some beams, there was some action. The deer was very funny.
It was so funny. I mean, that alone
deer
is giving it 3 stars for me.
And I think I might also just still have some positive energy from this insane dark passenger.
Yeah, that's the most fun I've ever had.
It's really coloring this.
Zane, out of 7 Black Star Dragon Balls.
Well, as my only full episode of Dragon Ball.
I mean, gonna do the normal episode.
Well, that's
after
right,
this.
That's right. Yeah, I hope everyone's, you know, loving me out there. But I get, for sentimental value, I gotta go 6.5.
All right, that's good. At 7, we have to do a character. I'm gonna give it 3 out of 7 Black Star Dragon Balls. Loved the trick they pull on baby. I loved that deer being a pedophile. And I loved the airline material. Lots of like comedy gold in this. Again, like a bad action show, but like fun. All right, and on that note, you know, thanks again for supporting the show. We couldn't do it without your help, etc. We'd like to leave you with a gift and go out on a rap by our new favorite writer, Joe Gerbert. Joe Gerbert. The grab and go Gerbert.